Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The 2018 midterm elections are now less than 100 days away, and the primary election is just over 30 days from now. So basically, it's down to the wire for political candidates in Massachusetts. That's our next topic, and we want to start by talking about the 3rd Congressional District, where incumbent Congresswoman Nikki Tsongas is retiring, and where 10, that's right, 10 Democrats are competing for her seat in the primary. All 10 of them are struggling to stand out, and last week, one candidate decided to try something unconventional. On the show Fox and Friends First, the show producers believed that they were going to speak with Ann Kirkpatrick, a Democratic congressional candidate in Arizona, who was said to be supporting federal immigration authorities. Here's a clip from the show.
Ann Kirkpatrick, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Tell us why you do support ICE.
I'm actually Barbara Letalian. I'm a state senator representing a large immigrant community and running for Congress in Massachusetts. Again, my name is Barbara Letalian, and I refuse to believe that our only options are open borders or traumatized.
All right.
Let's move along.
That didn't go as planned.
For a second, so that's what happens sometimes.
Now, Barbara Letalian admits that she took advantage of one of the show's producers' confusion to get on the air, and Letalian's spokesman says Letalian had an obligation to her constituents to speak out, and she used that opportunity to do so. So for more on that incident and on the 3rd congressional race, we turn to Chris Lisinski, a reporter for the Lowell Sun. Chris, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Deborah. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with that move by State Senator Barbara Letalian. She is a congressional candidate. She got on Fox and Friends when they thought they were talking with another person from Congress. And then she says she got to speak directly to Donald Trump regarding her views on immigration. Of course, the Salem News published an op-ed slamming her for that. She's calling it a deceit that was as disappointing as it was embarrassing to the Merrimack Valley. So what do you think, Chris? I mean, what are you hearing from folks? What's the predominant sentiment here? Is it support of Letalian doing this and speaking out, or is it really concerned about the deceit involved?
You know, I think that the reactions are kind of a wide range across the spectrum. Even within the Democratic Party, you're seeing a wide range of reactions across the spectrum. A lot of people and a lot of Letalian supporters were really happy with her move. They saw it as sort of sticking it to Fox News, an organization that has a pretty obviously pro-Republican bent. And they were happy to see that, happy to see someone standing up and broadcasting a message that they agree with. But like you said, that op-ed in the Salem News, I've also seen quite a few reactions in that regard where people weren't so happy with the circumstances. Again, as you said, you know, this all stemmed from a mix-up where Letalian's current campaign spokesman, Joe Katz, I think he's actually her communications director, previously worked for Ann Kirkpatrick, and Fox apparently still had him listed as the contact. By Fox's telling of the interaction, they reached out to him, and he went along with it as if he still did work for Ann Kirkpatrick until all of a sudden there was Barbara Letalian on the TV. So, you know, there have been plenty of reactions like that one that you cited that feel that, you know, it's good to get the message out, but this was just a bridge too far with this sort of dishonesty. I think the most significant thing of this is that it's really broadcast her name far and wide. It's gotten a lot of attention and a lot of traction outside the district. You know, obviously we were on it because it's right here in our backyard and we've been covering everything in the race, but you saw stories on this in the Washington Post, on BuzzFeed News. I think I saw a column in the New Yorker praising her for, you know, standing up to Fox News.
It's a lot of chutzpah. You know, it's a lot of chutzpah.
For a congressional race, that's pretty hard to do, especially in a congressional race where it's more or less a safe Democratic seat. It's hard to get that kind of widespread attention. So I think that regardless of some of the negative reactions, her campaign will probably be pretty happy with the way this turned out.
And then also there's this local story involving Letalian as well. The Boston Globe is saying that she's been responsible for about $16 million worth of state money funneled two projects in Lowell. Now, she doesn't represent Lowell as a state senator. She represents communities near Lowell, but not Lowell itself. But of course, Lowell would be key, and she would represent it in Congress if she won, and Lowell is key to her congressional campaign. Now, LaTalian, it's my understanding, has said that, yes, she was able to secure this state funding, and she did it on behalf of the city's former Senator Eileen Donahue, who resigned. But critics say she wasn't doing this on Donahue's behalf. She was actually working as a political opportunist because this is her congressional race. So what's been the response here?
My read on it, you know, I think this is one of those situations where two things are true at the same time. Mm. I think that both of those reactions have some merit with them, and they're not mutually exclusive. It's not altogether uncommon for one state senator to advocate for a neighboring community that does not currently have any representation. I mean, she's absolutely right when she says that. There is no state senator representing Lowell in the state house right now, most recently represented by Eileen Donahue, who is now Lowell's city manager. And Donahue herself was quoted in that Globe piece saying that she was happy to see LaTalian doing this, that she and LaTalian had spoken about it. I think the two of them are relatively close as well. So there's certainly some merit and some historical precedent there. But at the same time, it is also convenient for LaTalian that she's able to do this and make a point of talking about all of the things she's done for Lowell and the money she's bringing to Lowell. So I think that, you know, you're getting mixed reactions because there's kind of truth within both of them.
Hmm. Now, with all these Democratic candidates, are we seeing really any difference, or is it sort of personality and who can do the most for whichever project, really?
Yeah, so far, I think that this race over the past 8 months or so really has been defined far more by personality and polish over individual policy differences. You know, these candidates tend to agree on most issues, not every issue universally, but there's quite a lot of agreement. It hasn't been a primary run on a single dividing issue. It's been a primary run on who's got the right kind of experience and who's got the right kind of attitude to execute, you know, a broad Democratic agenda in Congress.
And now there is a lone Republican running for this seat, Rick Green. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, so he's been fairly active, given that he doesn't face any primary opposition. He's raised close to $800,000, which is, you know, a good chunk of change and will certainly allow him to run a pretty broad and significant general election campaign once we get through the primary. That being said, you know, he's sort of stayed to the fringes of this so far, running his own campaign events, meeting with voters here and there, occasionally interacting with the Democrats, occasionally, you know, pushing back on some of the topics they're talking about. But I think that he's biding his time and waiting until there's one single candidate that he can really target and will get his name out after September 4th.
Chris Lisinski, reporter for the Lowell Sun, thanks so much for being with us.
Absolutely.
And the race in the 3rd District really is just one of many playing out across the Commonwealth. James Pindle is a political reporter for the Boston Globe, and he joins us on the line right now to talk about some of the other races to watch this fall. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me back on.
So we talked about the 3rd District. Now we want to talk about the 7th, because that's a really interesting race as well. We've got incumbent Congressman Michael Capuano facing a primary challenge from Boston City Councilor Ayanna Pressley. Now, Pressley just today got a big endorsement from Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey. So I'm wondering, what do you think that endorsement means for Pressley, and what's the latest, James, that you're hearing about the 7th?
Boy, this is the race that everyone wants to talk about. In the 3rd, I think you got a little piece of how confusing it is up in the northern part of the state in that primary. But this one's very clean and it's very simple. You have a 10-term incumbent of Mike Capuano against, you know, a younger woman of color who's obviously got a great life story and background in Ayanna Pressley. You know, people want to try to blow out that the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez upset, which has now been a month ago. Every day is a year in politics in 2018. It has somehow given a resurgent amount of momentum behind the idea of Pressley. But this endorsement was significant because Capuano, because of his incumbency and his relationships over all these years, has been able to grab a lot of these big endorsements. Deval Patrick, Mayor Walsh, obviously from Boston, and then in John Lewis, the civil rights legend and congressman from Georgia who came here and did a couple of stops for him. And Ayanna Pressley needs sort of more of that establishment cred, that she is a legit, serious candidate as we head to the last, you know, sort of month for voters to consider that she's not just a challenger from the left, that she's, you know, got a broad base of support.
So at this point, do you see any sort of relation between that race, the Capuano-Presley race, and what happened in New York in the 14th district?
Yes and no. I mean, there's no there's no simple analogy in terms of one congressional district to the next. Clearly, as we mentioned, in terms of demographics, yes, it looks pretty similar. But, you know, Ocasio-Cortez defeated someone who was much more centrist in a very, very low turnout primary in Joe Crawley than Capuano is, who's been a member from day one of the Progressive Caucus. And I also think that Capuano has taken this primary a heck of a lot more seriously than Crawley did, who rarely even debated or campaigned in that particular race. So I think, and also, you know, Cortez was much more to the left of where Ayanna Pressley is, who is a Clinton backer. And obviously Cortez was Sanders hardcore. So, I mean, there's no dynamics there, but obviously on paper it looks like that. And the fact that Cortez has said that Pressley does mimic her race is obviously a good endorsement for her.
We're running out of time a bit. We're up against it. But let's just briefly talk about the governor's race and the Democrats, Jay Gonzalez and Bob Massey. Who do you think has the edge in the primary?
Well, right now you have to say that Jay Gonzalez has a bit of an edge. He clearly has the cash on hand. He has the party's endorsement. He's starting to get more endorsements and building more of a field campaign than Massey. But at this point, I mean, neither one really have much name recognition, and it's going to probably be a really low turnout primary. So Massey's got a shot.
Right. Okay. James Pindle, political reporter for the Boston Globe. I'm sure we'll be speaking with you again during this political season that is almost in high gear now once everyone gets back from vacation. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.